Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, America's number one trusted resource for realtors who demand authentic, real-time coaching. Starring award-winning real estate coaches Tim and Julie Harris. Get ready for unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what is truly working to get you into action and make you money in this new real estate boom. Now to our hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
Welcome back to Real Estate Coaching Radio. We are broadcasting from a beautiful, sunny Austin, Texas, which is great because we've basically been living through 40 days and 40 nights of rain. But here we are back to normal Texas weather, which is nice. So, Julie, welcome to today's radio show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. As always, it's going to be a great show.
So folks get into real estate for primarily three reasons, right? They want autonomy. You know, they don't want a boss. They don't want anyone holding them accountable. They want to basically, again, be their own boss. So autonomy, being their own boss, is number two. And number three is because they think by being in real estate, it will make them rich. And you know the reality of it is that there is no better wealth creation vehicle on the face of the planet more than real estate. And if you guys go back in history and study where essentially all the families with the most wealth have made their money generally and retained their wealth, it's almost always real estate. And I'm talking back to the, you know, right when humans came out of caves. You'll see that essentially real estate is and probably always will be one of the biggest wealth creation vehicles because everyone, after all, has to live something in something somewhere. Now, some of you will argue and say, well, what about IPOs and what about the stock market and what about the internet and all that's probably true. But realistically, historically, when you look at, thousands of years, well, really hundreds of years, I think, is more relevant, you'll see that real estate's been the greatest purveyor of wealth. So you're in the right business, you're in the right industry, and now we're going to tell you, we're going to lay out for you five specific points that will make you rich in real estate. One of the things I want you all to remember is that just because you make a lot of money in real estate doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be rich. You'll have a great lifestyle, you will have a great income, but you won't necessarily be rich. So for the sake of today's call, before Julie gets to the first point, she's going to create a great outline for you guys. I want you to write this down. And this is our definition of rich. Tim and Julie Harris's definition of rich, if you want to say it like that, is when your money works for you and you no longer have to work for your money. When your money works for you and you no longer have to work for your money. Your goal from running a real estate business, especially in this economy, especially at this time in history, especially during, you know, overall, this is probably the best time in our lifetimes to be selling real estate. So you will be successful selling real estate, let's hope. And let's hope then you'll have lots and lots of profits. You build your business around profit. And then what do you do with that profit? That's where you actually create your wealth. So you will not get rich in the traditional, in the sense of your money working for you, following our definition, unless you're strategic about reinvesting the profits you make from your business. In order for you to have those profits, you have to be running your business like a business. So there's lots of, hopefully, mindset-expanding thoughts for some of you guys to consider. I know a lot of you are following the same paradigms that you always have, that, you know, you earn a lot of money, you pay your taxes, and you hopefully there's something left over at the end of the day for you to reinvest. But the way that we ask you to approach your real estate business is literally the complete opposite. You pay yourself first. You build your business around profit. Your mindset is profit is your product. And then with that mindset and our approach, then you will have lots and lots of profit left over. Then you can reinvest it, and then you basically create a fortune. And not just for yourself, not just for your immediate family, but generational wealth. You could actually create a legacy as a result of being here in this industry right now. That's what's so exciting. In every market, pretty much, everyone's saying the same thing. Homes have never sold so fast. There's never been so much interest. And guys, here's what's, just put this into the mix if you're not necessarily seeing the industry like we do. Generation Y, right? The baby boomers' kids, the Generation X's kids for the most part, they haven't even really started buying homes yet. And if you look at demographically, if you look at the number of generation, like everyone, you know, in, at least in my life, the lifetime, Julie's lifetime, most of your lifetimes, the baby boomers have sort of set the bar as far as housing, right? What the baby boomers wanted, the builders built. What the baby boomers thought, that, you know, everyone listened. Well, now the baby boomers are reaching the age where they're buying their, you know, maybe their ultimate homes in many cases, or they're starting to downsize. And so now everybody is focusing on their kids, the Generation Y. That is what is going to be the absolute genesis of going to probably the best economy for the United States for the next, 100 years? And it's really going to start with housing again, because as these guys start forming families, they start buying their first places, as all the types of housing cycles repeat themselves with the Generation Y. And that's starting to happen now. So yes, right now the market's great, but it's nothing compared to what we're going to be seeing over the next 20 years as those folks start forming their families and starting to climb the real estate ladder themselves. So Julie, this is a really great topic. Let's go ahead and drill down.
All right, perfect. So we're talking about the things that will make you rich in real estate, because all the investment strategies that you're talking about, Tim, they've got to come from somewhere, so we got to make the money in the first place. So let's jump into this. Eric Schmidt, the former CEO of Google, was giving advice to Sergey Brin, the new CEO of Google, and he said, just be great at five things. Not at everything, just at five things. And that made me remember when you and I listened to the audiobook of Steve Jobs' autobiography, which is great. If our listeners haven't picked that up yet, that's a great one to listen to, because Steve Jobs got similar advice from both his father and his mentors. He talks about that in that book. And of course, we agree with all of those statements. Be great at a really simple list of things, and that's what's going to bring you wealth in real estate, or at least bring you the income to then invest in things that will make you wealthy. So in a world of distractions, Tim, how do you actually know what to do in real estate? This is something we hear from the coaches talking about their coaching clients, certainly from our own coaching clients. You know, how do you know what to do? What actually leads to a paycheck? Your website, networking, paying for leads, tweaking your landing page. There's all these things. And on top of that, most of our clients are just busy holding their deals together. So how do they sort all that out?
Well, but that's the hard part, right? The hard part is being able to say no. The hard part is being able to say, well, listen, I'm going to let that shiny silver object go. You know, it might be the buying leads or buying impressions, whatever you guys want to call it. It might be the latest whiz-bang, internet marketing idea. It might be all these kind of sexy things that look really great at the time. But, the reality of it is that they're not one of your five things. Agents who are successful generally have what I call post office businesses. In other words, it's like going to the post office. It's predictable. It's boring. Same thing happens every single day, day in and day out. They have schedules. Their staff has schedules. And as a result of that, they produce a very consistent income, and they make themselves, in some cases, really, really rich. And by rich, again, it's when their money works for them and they no longer have to work for their money. So you guys, going back to the original three points, you can easily have autonomy in the business, because the truth is that, leading to the second reason that people get real estate licenses, you won't have a boss. So you'll have no boss to hold you accountable means you have autonomy. But the next thing, the next motivator for most of you, the earning of the money, the building of the riches, the creating of the legacy, that's not something that happens accidentally. You have to actually overtly and directly go after that specific goal. So yeah, Julie's going to give you guys the five things that all of you should be focused on and all of you should master. And the hardest part, to her point, is the fact that that means you have to ignore everything else other than your five things. You have to ignore it. You have to just tune it out and say, that's not for me, because I'm becoming great at these five things. That's the challenge that a lot of you have. Now, top producers don't have that. Top producers, agents that are making the money, making millions and millions of dollars per year, they have no interest in whatever the whiz-bang latest idea is. So I want all of you guys to take that into consideration. It's okay to miss the fad. Just stay focused on the long-term goals. So Julie, go ahead.
All right, perfect. So let's keep it simple. Things to get great at. Lead generation. We could stop just on that, because if you're not great at that, the rest of it doesn't really matter. But let's just say that you are. That leads logically to lead follow-up, pre-qualifying, presenting, negotiating, and closing. So when you're at the best at those things, it's impossible for you not to meet or exceed your financial goals. So let's get down to it. It's one thing to say these things are important. It's another thing to actually figure out what are the rules to making that work for you. How do you actually implement this? And I think it comes down to just following some simple guidelines. So first thing, most important again, lead generation rules. Number one, have a minimum number of buyers and listings at all times. And, we could do probably three or four shows just on that, because that's kind of a mindset thing mixed with a skills item. But it is your number one job in real estate. And a lot of agents are not clear on that, Tim, that generating the lead in the first place, that's your job in real estate. Prospecting enhanced marketing or marketing enhanced prospecting, however you get to that, lead generation is key. So under that umbrella, point number two, actually know where you'll get your leads from. What are your spokes in the wheel? Past clients, centers of influence, referrals, builders, open houses, unrepresented sellers, otherwise known as FSBOs, expireds, withdrawns. I mean, the list is endless. There's lots of different spokes that you can work. Choose what you have decided to become great at and embrace that. So identify where your leads come from and work on getting more of them and then adding to your spokes. So point number three,
Julie, lead generation.
Let
me interject something right there.
Sure.
A lot of you guys are smartly pursuing or considering pursuing expireds and, as Julie just said, unrepresented owners, which are AKA FSBOs, right? So yes, absolutely positively pursue that. So you want to take the first steps. I'll tell you for sure what you want to engage with is mojosells.com. Definitely look into mojosells.com. Great tools for actively going after expireds for sale by owners. And they also have a widget that allow you to easily and effortlessly follow up calls on all your centers of influence and past clients. So one of the basic building blocks of all your businesses has to be mojosells.com. So go ahead, Julie.
All right, perfect. So again, we're still under lead generation. Don't just claim that you have these spokes. Actually follow a daily schedule that focuses on generating new business. So actually schedule that. I know you guys hate having a schedule, but too bad. We're in it to make money, aren't we? You're not running a nonprofit. Point number four, embrace and internalize that generating new business is the fuel for the engine known as your real estate business. So here's a real quick, be honest question. Do you have a strong engine, or are you still walking to work? It's a decision that you make daily. Again, embrace and internalize generating new business is the fuel that goes into your engine. Without that, you're
puttering along. Julie, your phone's getting a little staticky.
Okay, I'm going to call back in, okay?
Okay, no problem. All right, so I'm going to pick up where she left off. So with regards to essentially when you're working on your lead generation thing, guys, and going back to Julie's previous points, we teach you literally dozens of different ways to generate leads. And Julie referred to our spokes analogy. The spokes analogy is quite simple. How many spokes you have on your wheel. The wheel is, if you imagine a wheel rolling down the road, each spoke on the wheel represents a source of lead generation. So each spoke has to be strong, because if you have, let's say, for example, and this is the problem a lot of you guys have, you'll have either too few spokes, which is usually the case, and that's the, I'd say, the most common two spoke problem I see is those of you who just focus on your centers of influence and past clients. You think, well, centers of influence and past clients, that'll get me into the end zone. But the reality of it is that you will very quickly, every year, burn through all your centers of influence and past client leads, typically about May. You'll be done. There won't really be much other coming from that. So if you don't have other spokes, well, then you're going to be hurting for the rest of the year. So centers of influence and past clients is critical. We definitely want you doing it, but it can't be your only thing. Then again, pursuing the unrepresented owners, that's a good spoke. Well, what happens with a lot of you is you get started on that particular spoke. You never become really good at it. You just sort of touch on it. Maybe you try it. You talk yourself into it, but you never get good at it. So then you fool yourself in thinking, well, I have a for sale by owner spoke on my wheel, but you really don't because you haven't completely built it. So, Julie, what does focus stand for, just so these guys can remember the importance of not bouncing from spoke to spoke? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, focus means follow one course until successful. So don't just dabble in your lead generation. Become the best at it. If you claim that you go after unrepresented sellers and that's a source of business for you, become known as the best at it. That benefits you too, because other agents will not want to go after what you are embracing. So don't just dabble, actually be great at it. So that leads to our next thing to be great at, lead follow-up. And again, this is a topic we could do endless calls about, because it's also one of the biggest issues that we see amongst coaching clients. They say that they don't have enough leads, but then we dig in as coaches and they got leads, they're just not great at following up. So become the best at lead follow-up. Point number one under that umbrella, follow up on 100% of your leads daily, regardless of the lead source. That means I don't care if it's a web lead or it's a referral or it's a relocation company or it's a builder lead. Follow up on 100% of your leads daily. What this does, Tim, is it means that you'll never have this looming out of control feeling, well, I probably have leads. I mean, I think I've got like, I love hearing this. I think I've got like 500 leads in Top Producer. I'm not really sure, right? So follow up on 100% of your leads. Don't just throw them into some crazy drip system. Actually call them back. So My number two in lead follow-up rules, follow up with the tightest urgency you possibly can. Leads do not get better with age. And in fact, leads on their own have no value. It's only appointments that have value. So 5 minutes or less, unless you're on a listing appointment. That's right. That kind of urgency. That's kind of a crazy thought for some of our listeners, I think. But that's what makes the money. So become great at it. Point number three, follow up relentlessly. Call until they list or buy with you, list or buy with someone else, tell you they'll never list or buy, or get a restraining order because you're so relentlessly following up.
Julie, let's stop.
Mostly jokingly, so they'll remember. Yeah.
Let's stop there for a second because that's really important. Again, this is another little category in real estate where there's a lot of confusion, which it baffles me why there's confusion about this at all. To be honest with you, it's been made way too analytical, way too complicated. So guys, here's your lead follow-up rule. Julie just touched on it. It is a joke, okay, but it is the mindset you need to have. When you have a seller that has to sell, and remember the rules for have to sell seller are someone that has an absolute pressing need to sell, not someone if they get the right price, not someone if the stars all align or when pigs fly, but when you have an absolute have to sell, a relo, a downsizer, or rather a downsizer that's being forced to downsize, not just a voluntary downsizer, because those are, you know, oftentimes not the most motivated sellers, but an absolute positive have to sell seller, okay? When you have one of those, which are always the best sellers to pursue, usually the only sellers that actually sell are the have to sell sellers, especially in a market like this, your lead follow-up rule is simple. You follow up with them until one of two things happens. They list with you or somebody else, so they file a restraining order against you because you're being so quote-unquote aggressive with your lead follow-up. Putting them in a drip system, emailing them, doing all this other passive crap will not work. Not nowadays, probably not ever. You have to be calling them. You have to be knocking on their door. If they have to sell, you have to haunt them. I got news for you guys. Without knowing it, a lot of times what sellers will do is, so you get someone on the phone, they have to sell, you then, set an appointment or they won't set an appointment. They're just basically not continuing on the path with you for whatever reason. So in your mind, you say, well, they hired somebody else, so they're not interested in working with me, blah, 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 blah. But the reality is they do want to work with you. They are interested in working with you, but they just got distracted by, life. And if you just made one more phone call, if you just followed up one more time, if you knocked on the door one time, you'd have gotten that listing. The lead follow-up stuff is critical. We have dozens and dozens, and we could just do hours and hours of radio shows on the importance of lead follow-up. It makes an impression upon somebody, a seller, a prospective seller, that you're a professional. Not following up. So some of you guys will rationalize, well, I don't want to be seen as too pushy. That's how you guys rationalize it. What you're really, the message you're really sending to that seller is you're essentially telling them that you're not that interested in working with them, you're not that aggressive, and you're kind of lazy. That's the real message you're sending to them. So I want you to think about that. If you've rationalized that being pushy in your mind is going to result in you not getting business, that isn't the way it works. It's the exact opposite of the way you're thinking. So guys, listen, bottom line, they have to sell. You follow up with them until they list with you or somebody else, or they file a restraining order against you. And that means contacting them multiple times a day until they actually – and if someone – for example, if someone gets a little steamed at you for having called them too often or whatever, say, Mr. Seller, I just wanted to impress upon you how important it is that I follow up with you to help you get this home sold. You can imagine how aggressive I'm going to be following up with any prospective buyers. And Mr. Seller, I can tell you the three ways that'll benefit you. The first one obviously being the fact that that'll result in you making more money from the sale of your home. It'll sell quicker. And the third reason, Mr. Seller, is the least amount of hassle to you. So would you rather have someone who's passive working for you or someone who's very aggressive like I am? There's not a seller on the face of the earth that has to sell that won't appreciate your aggressiveness. Remember that. Get over your mindset about quote-unquote being too pushy. It is making you broke. So Julie, next point.
All right. Again, on lead follow-up. Follow up using lead follow-up scripts. That will help. And actually leave compelling messages that make them want to call you back. So there's actually a mini point in there. Somewhere along the line, somebody told some agent somewhere that they're not supposed to leave messages, which sounds completely insane, assuming that you actually want them to know that you're trying to help them. Right? So then the next little mini point is, don't just leave messages, leave something compelling. It's not just, hey, I met you in an open house, just wanted to check in, say how you're doing. That's like everybody else. when I met you at the open house, you said you wanted a three-bedroom, two-bath in the whatever subdivision. I got three of those that meet your criteria. I can't wait to show them to you. I got tonight at 5 o'clock or Saturday at 10 a.m. available. Call me back so that we can be the first one to see them. Which is a better message? So some of you aren't leaving messages at all because you heard that someplace. That's wrong. And secondly, when you do leave messages, make them be dying to call you back because you have what they want. If it's a listing lead, you can talk about some recent comparable sales that will affect their pricing that they'll need to know about. Think about something of value to leave on that message instead of these lightweight messages that make you not want to leave messages. Okay? So yeah, use some scripts. Point number five under lead follow-up, get rid of your elaborate lead follow-up requirements like, well, I only emailed them because they emailed me, or not leaving messages for some crazy reason, which we just talked about. So get rid of your crazy analytical, elaborate lead follow-up requirements and just call people and connect immediately. So, and I do get a little fired up about the lead follow-up, Tim, because it's typical. They say they don't have enough leads, but they do have enough leads. They're just not great at lead follow-up. So that's something to embrace and correct. So that leads to our next thing to be really great at. Assuming that you generated the lead and you followed up on it, now you've got to be really great at pre-qualifying. This is good for the prospect and for you to watch your time and make sure that you're setting appointments with people who will actually buy or sell. So first pre-qual rule, pre-qualify 100% of the time, including your repeat and referral leads. Pre-qualify your best friend as well as you would a cold lead. I don't care if it's your mom. You're going to ask questions about motivation and time frame, which is the second point. Pre-qualify for motivation and time frame. So number three, use pre-qualifying scripts for both buyers and sellers. So for example, and Tim, you know, this is kind of a standard coaching call, right? Never go on a listing presentation without knowing, A, are they speaking with other agents? If so, how did they select them, who and why? And B, what price do they have in mind when you meet with them? C, why are they selling? And D, what's their time frame? You know, so many agents show up to appointments thinking, I mean, they can show up thinking that it's a real listing appointment and it's not. At least it's not in the homeowner's mind. Or the opposite, they can think that, you know, they're just getting to know them when in fact the seller was ready to list. I mean, there's all kinds of mistakes that go along with this point. Would you agree with that?
I do. But you know, it's interesting.
Calls?
Right. Yeah. Well, exactly. But, you know, the other thing is as I was reading your points, and they're great points, is I was thinking about why are they afraid to pre-qualify? Why are they afraid to ask these types of questions? It's their mindset. I mean, it really, if we're being honest, I would say success in anything in life is 90% mindset, 10% the rest. That's the truth. It's the mindset of pre-qualifying. It's the mindset, and here's the shift of your mindset again. I don't want to seem too pushy. I don't want to ask questions where they might basically lash back and I might not get the appointment. Or I'm friends with them and I don't want to be asking questions that are too probing. All these types of rationalizations you guys have for not doing a full pre-qualification. But let me give you the flip side to it. When you ask the right questions, even if the questions sometimes make you marginally uncomfortable, don't assume it's making them uncomfortable at all. They're expecting you to be a professional and ask tough questions, tough-ish questions, if we're being honest. So when you ask those questions, guys, what you're doing is because you're pre-qualifying, because you're asking tough questions, they're answering tough questions, you're actually getting yourself that listing appointment even before you get off your butt because the other agents won't be asking those types of questions. Because the seller has invested time with you answering these questions, they're going to be less likely to want to answer the same questions with somebody else because they've already invested the time with you. Get it? It's, you know, for example, if you guys were applying for a mortgage today, you don't want to fill out 10 mortgage applications. You want to be really selective on the guy you're going to work with or the gal you're going to work with, and then you want to fill out one application and that's it, right? Versus going out and filling out a million of them. Well, that's the same thing when sellers are interviewing agents or agents are interviewing sellers. So ask the tough questions and really get at the heart of their motivation. Really, guys, a listing presentation is, and Julie's going to get to this in a second, but a listing presentation should involve no stress. You should never, ever walk into a seller's house without knowing their motivation, they better have to, without knowing basically their time frame, without knowing if you're competing for the listing, without knowing what they think the house is worth. I mean, if you were to mentally write down all the worst-case scenarios that might happen during listing presentation, that's the reason that we developed these scripts. That's the reason we developed this pre-listing pack. The listing presentation itself, for the most part, when you follow our system,
is easy, it's friendly, and it, honest to God, guys, is stress-free. Because you know the answers to all the toughest questions. You've already covered all the things that they might ask you in the pre-listing pack. You followed our system. You know what their motivation is. You know if you're competing. Really, at that point, it's your game to lose because you've essentially, you're walking in there with all the, you know, all the curtains already pulled back, you know, mentally, emotionally. They've already committed to you. They've already answered your questions. They've already seen your pre-listing pack. You already know what their motivation is. You know what the house is worth. That's how you kill on listing presentations, guys. That's how you own it. And for you to, you know, show up without having pre-qualified, thinking you're going to pre-qualify when you're sitting there meeting with the seller, sort of maybe, that's horrible. Don't do it that way. Any agent who has a professional approach is going to always win the listing when they handle themselves like professionals, when they actually ask the tough questions ahead of time. Psychologically, guys, that's what that'll leave an impression on these prospective sellers of yours that you are a professional, that you can be trusted, that you are the person that they want to work with. Get it? Again, guys, it's mindset. So challenge yourself to essentially focus on, say, oh, what am I nervous about actually pre-qualifying? Why am I nervous about asking these questions? Is it because I don't know what I'll say once they answer the questions? I don't know what comes next. Follow our system, and you'll know what comes next. Follow our system, you'll know what questions to ask and which order to ask the questions. Follow our system, and you won't ever walk into a situation with a seller where you feel embarrassed, where you feel pressured, where you don't know what to do. So, guys, we're going to pick up where we left off today, tomorrow. Is that all right, Julie?
Absolutely. We have more to do.
Yeah, we do. So, guys, I want you to stay focused. And I want you to always remember that anytime you need anything, help in any way, we're here for you. Just request a free coaching call at freecoachingcallsforagents.com. And a lot of you are existing coaching students that listen to us every day. If you need any help, in addition to your great coach, always remember you can email Julie or I directly. We receive and answer all of our own emails, tim@timandjulieharris.com and julie@timandjulieharris.com. Anytime any of you need anything, let us help you. Please let us help you. It's what, it's what we're here to do. It's what our... It's frankly, it's what we're best at, and it's what we're passionate about. So allow us to do whatever we can to get you guys going in the right direction, to continue the great momentum that so many of you have. Request a free coaching call at freecoachingcallsforagents.com. And I'd also like to thank our two sponsors, in addition to mojosells.com, zbuyers.com. You guys should go back and listen to the interview I did with one of the owners of zbuyers last week. Another great spoke that you should be adding to your wheel is zbuyers.com. Definitely check them out. Listen to the radio show from last week for more information on that. And, of course, 1-800-HOME-HOTLINE.com. Kind of a no-brainer for all of you who are wanting to generate buyer and seller leads. It's super. It's, what, $35 a month, no contracts, cancel at any time. Kind of a no-brainer. So check out zbuyers.com. Check out 1-800-HOME-HOTLINE.com. And, of course, mojosells.com. In the meantime, one more .com for all of you. If you need any help, please go to freecoachingcallsforagents.com. freecoachingcallsforagents.com. We literally have 11 coaches that are there to do free coaching calls to help you in any way that they can. We'll talk with you on the radio tomorrow.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows. And until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.